Ari nang tsetan jik tibu che yang jia nang arzu tsom che lo sarbi ki nang lo chan sarbu koto she lo chan shiya raba tila ya nbe ma si nang chasang sem ka yu to ne chasang ya jik tila shu yus.
Tonight our first weekend class of the new year, and I just want to say how delighted I am to be back amongst old friends, some new faces, but also those that I've known, that I've had a Dharma connection with now for many years. So I'm really delighted to see you all again. All of us here, myself and all of you, in fact, all beings everywhere, we yearn to live a life of stable happiness, a life where we experience no problems or difficulties. Even the slight problems we experience, we want to repel, we want to be freed of. So this is something we all have in common. And this is what motivates each and every action we engage in. And it's why we've all gathered here tonight, to achieve happiness and be freed of suffering. Because we've come to recognize that in terms of the two sources of happiness, that from the outer material world and that from the development of our own inner world, a way of thinking, it's a way of thinking that is primary in terms of eliminating suffering and experiencing lasting happiness. So the happiness we yearn for, a happiness that is freed from suffering, comes about primarily independent on our way of thinking. So therefore, the purpose of this and every class that we have is to gather knowledge about what kinds of minds to develop to bring happiness and how to develop them, and what kinds of minds cause us problems and pain and how to eradicate them. So this is the purpose of this class and every other class, learning about ourselves, coming to know ourselves better. The purpose of receiving these teachings is to get to know ourselves better, to learn what are the minds that need to be developed and how to do so, and which are those that harm us and should be abandoned. So in other words, we need to engage in receiving teachings and then training our minds, strengthening our good qualities and turning away from harmful habitual patterns. So these we need to identify and learn the techniques to transform ourselves. For this to come about, a large number of causes need to come together. And if any of these crucial causes are missing, even if the others are gathered, one will be unable to learn what is required and transform one's mind. Firstly, one needs to have an interest. One needs to have an interest in developing our inner world, our ways of thinking. Secondly, one needs time. Time to come to teachings, time to reflect on the information received. Thirdly, one also needs good health. If one's health is particularly poor, so it makes it very difficult to have the time and the mental space to be able to absorb teachings and reflect on them. Fourthly, one also needs a guide, a teacher, someone who can present this information and make it relevant to oneself. And then fifthly, one also needs a place to gather. If all of these conditions are there, such as an interest, having time, health, and there's a teacher, but there isn't a place to gather, one will be unable to receive these teachings. So there are many conditions, favorable conditions that are required, and all of them need to be gathered in order to be able to learn how to transform our mind and then to be able to do so. So this is a good point to reflect on again and again, because it serves to highlight to us just how fortunate we are, make evident to us our own good fortune, which we may well take for granted. And becoming aware of our good fortune then, rejoice in this, appreciate what the causes that we have all accumulated and now the results that we are experiencing. Identifying the causes of our pain and misery, as well as the causes of attaining lasting happiness, and how to eradicate the causes that otherwise lead to pain and misery, and how to cultivate the minds that lead to lasting happiness. This method was taught by Buddha Shakyamuni. Buddha Shakyamuni, independent on his own experience of having become a perfected being, becoming a Buddha, was able then to teach the complete and unmistaken sequence of trainings that he engaged in order to sequentially progress towards the attainment of Buddhahood, the state of perfection. And because he had attained such a state through his own endeavors, he was able to share this complete and unmistaken method to his students. And then over the centuries that followed, many great masters arose in India, masters such as Nagarjuna, Chandrakirti, Shantideva, Atisha, and so forth, who also took those same teachings that the Buddha had given many hundreds of years before, put them into practice in their own minds, developed them in their own continuums, and came to see the validity of that training, that they were able to eliminate all inner faults and develop perfectly all good qualities. And they've composed many texts summarizing or clarifying how one can go about doing this. Then those teachings were transmitted through to the snowlands of Tibet, where there are many great masters such as Jayampuse Lama Tsongkhapa, who also put into place perfectly, or into practice perfectly, those teachings and attained the full result, and also composed texts explaining clearly how to do so. Now, we only know these great masters through their biographies and autobiographies and through the legacy of their texts. But in our modern world, we have the unparalleled example of His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And when he teaches, just like these great masters, he also teaches based on his extensive learning and his own lived experience. So we can hold him up as an example of someone who has put into practice over a lifetime of training and attained results. And also we will know people who over many years have also put into these teachings into practice. In fact, there is no one who could say that, yes, I've applied these teachings as they are presented over years of training, and I've seen no benefit. I'm no happier than I was before, or I have as many problems as I had before. No one would be able to say that. So here we come to understand the examples of the historical figures, and we apply that to what we what we can observe, and this then serves as a motivation for us to strive to put the understanding and implementation of these teachings at the forefront of our endeavors as something of primary importance in our lives. what one will have experience of, even if one hasn't met great masters like His Holiness, what one will have experience of is one's own life, one's own lived experience and what one has observed. You'll have experience that in times when your mind is very spacious, calm and relaxed, the outer circumstances around one, the material circumstances, won't have much impact on your happiness. In other words, if one's mind is calm and relaxed and spacious, but one is quite poor at that time, one's perhaps impoverished, or one doesn't have particularly tasty food to eat, one is really just getting by financially, but one's mind is happy and spacious, it's not a problem. And even if one is not with friends, but one is alone, one is not lonely. One's mind is happy. But one is perhaps very likely to have the contrary experience, that even if one's material conditions are quite good, especially if we compare on a global scale, we can see generally people's material conditions here are quite good. And one may be surrounded by friends and loved ones who do deeply care for you. But if one's mind is in a bad place, if one is experiencing a deep darkness within and one is unhappy, all the outer abundance that may surround one, all the loved ones and friends that may surround one, cannot overcome the deep unhappiness that one may feel. So from this lived experience, one can see the difference having a kind heart, an open heart makes. Whereas if the mind is dark and unhappy, one cannot appreciate what's around one. So recognizing that, we can see the benefit that will follow for all of us. To the extent that we can develop a kind heart, we will be happier. To the extent we can overcome harmful minds such as anger or self-centered attitude, to the extent we can reduce those, we will also be happier. So there, recognizing this, we can then see the importance of training our mind, strengthening our wholesome virtuous ways of thinking, and weakening those ways of habitual ways of thinking that harm us.
当然呢，咱俺这个地里，俺这地些吧，那些，当然是听见的，就是别呀，我几十双，天天咱在地里，就是这里呀，去年们去讲的些地方，甚至他们这个端到了呀，那让人几步没一步，懂我些地区这边，甚至他们这个端到三九国光特别切多，那个地讲到些个也是别的，俺这公路路些地里去，俺这俺这奥多些呢，结果了吧。
Recognizing our great good fortune at having somehow created the causes that have led us to this point where we have the interest to receive these teachings, we have the time and all the other circumstances required, this is something to recognize and rejoice in. And moreover, recognize that this is part of our training, gathering of knowledge that we then implement to transform our mind, so that we can attain lasting happiness. And add to this motivation that one wants to become happier, whilst one wants to become happier oneself, through becoming happier, through becoming more stable and kind-hearted, we will have a beneficial impact on others. Those who are directly in our orbit, our family and loved ones, but in fact through them, a greater society. So therefore, set as a motivation to receive this series of teachings in order to develop ourselves so that not only do we benefit directly, but through us, all other beings can benefit as well. And in terms of how much to develop to the point where we also are counted amongst the Buddhas, develop ourselves to the point of perfection so that we can continue to give to others ever greater amounts of happiness and joy, all through our own inner self-development. So tonight we start this new text composed by Jerenpuche Lama Tsongkhapa, the Middle Lamrim, translated as the Middle Length Treatise on the Stages on the Path to Enlightenment.
제름 지게 뒤송화에 대한 제름 지고로 총사디 맨이 안듯이 암도를 봐서 마 총교래 되는 마 총 되는 야 안듯이 최기 남최기 롭녀를 제야지 조어디 의리야 폐지 의리야 폐지 의리야 롭주 즉 남의 대망 오지엔데다 최기 최인 즉시 오지 롭녀 제나로와
The author of this text, Lama Tsongkhapa, he was born in the part of Tibet called Amdo in western Tibet, but he's moved towards to central Tibet at a young age, and he's gained his Dharma education in central Tibet, studying with a great number of remarkable teachers. And he first engaged in extensive study, hearing teachings from his spiritual teachers. And when he had gathered a wealth of knowledge, he then had a sufficient basis to engage in intensive meditation. And in this way, was able to radically develop his mind.
The lived example of Lama Tsongkhapa is
that of someone who heard an extensive number of teachings from his spiritual teachers, and whilst hearing, he reflected on their meaning, taking all the teachings received as personal instructions directly relevant to him. And on this great foundation, he then engaged in meditation, cultivating all the stages of the path to enlightenment within his own continuum.
Through
his extensive hearing, reflecting, and meditation, he radically transformed his mind. And based on his own deep spiritual transformation, which had come about in dependence on extensive study, he composed texts such as this middle Lamrim. And then in dependence on this text, so many other great learned lamas in the centuries that followed also gained transformative realization through their own hearing, reflecting, and meditation, including texts such as this. The purpose of recounting this is for each of us individually to recognize our own great good fortune. Because we may well take things for granted, because we have no direct recognition of the incredible amount of causes that we individually had created, or the virtue we had created to bring us to this point. So for those who have the book, the title the translator chose was the Middle Length Treatise on the Stages of the Path to Enlightenment, which is quite a mouthful, but that's an abbreviation from the Tibetan, which is even a little bit longer. So that is, let's see, So the middling length stages, middling length stages of the path towards enlightenment that are practiced by the three types of beings, together with its outlines, and it would start with an explanation of the middling stages of the path to enlightenment for the three type of the trainings for the three types of beings, together with its outlines. So there, as is referenced in the title there, this is the middling length. There is a great, and then there is a short. They're all three similar texts composed by Lama Tsongkhapa, but of varying length. We hear in the full title in Tibetan that it's the stages of training for beings of three different capacities. So who are these three beings? So we'll see as we progress through the text, they are the trainings that are shared with the practitioner of initial capacity, they are the trainings that are shared with the practitioner of intermediate capacity, and the trainings unique to the practitioner of supreme capacity. What differentiates these three types of beings is the breadth of their mental attitude. So to look at the first, the practitioner of initial capacity, or more commonly called the practitioner of small capacity. So their way of thinking is more, is narrower, smaller, which means the goal with which they engage in spiritual development is of a far smaller scope than other practitioners. They are striving merely or just for a good rebirth in the next life. They have a strong determination that they are going to engage in spiritual development to create the causes to ensure they do not fall into the suffering lower realms, but attain a good rebirth, such as a human, in their next life. This is the goal with which they engage in spiritual development. They have no thought about liberation or enlightenment, but they are focused on achieving a good rebirth and accumulating the causes for a good rebirth. The practitioner then of initial capacity has this narrower, smaller way of thinking, striving just to ensure they don't fall into the suffering lower realms. But the practitioner of intermediate capacity has a far broader scope, far broader outlook. They recognize that whilst they do not want to be born in the lower realms, even a rebirth in the so-called happier migrations as a human or God, these are still pervaded by suffering. They look at their own experience, they come to also understand the experience of other humans as well as gods, and recognize actually wherever one is born within samsara, as long as one remains bound by the causes that keep us stuck in these suffering realms, peace of mind, freedom from pain and misery cannot be attained. So they have a far more profound understanding of the sufferings of samsara, and thereby have given rise to a determination, a definite mind, a mind that is definite about arising from the suffering realms of samsara in their entirety and attaining liberation from suffering, liberation or freedom from suffering, liberation from samsara. This is the goal of the practitioner of intermediate capacity. So the practitioner of initial capacity or small scope is just striving for a good rebirth. But the practitioner of intermediate capacity, they are striving for liberation from samsara in its entirety, for the freedom of nirvana. But they have not developed a sincere determination to work for the welfare of others. They are focused on their own individual liberation from samsara. So for them, there's no thought of attaining Buddhahood. Rather, they are striving for their own individual liberation.
In
the same way, the practitioner of intermediate capacity, their way of thinking, their way of training, has come about independent on the first having reflected on the same trainings as the practitioner of initial capacity. The practitioner of greatest capacity, their way of thinking has also come about independence on reflecting on what the practitioner of initial capacity reflected on, and prior to that, that what the practitioner of initial capacity reflected on. So here, the practitioner of greatest capacity, they have also given rise to the initial determination of not wanting to be born in the suffering lower realms, and have developed this further to not wanting to be reborn in the suffering realms of samsara again, because they recognize that samsara itself is pervaded by suffering, and freedom must be attained from suffering. Therefore, freedom from samsara must be achieved. But what marks, so that is the same as the practitioner of intermediate capacity, but what marks the practitioner of greatest capacity out is that when they give rise to determination to gain freedom from suffering, they then also recognize that they alone are not longing for freedom from suffering. Each and every being bound within the suffering realms of samsara also wishes to be freed of suffering. There is no being in samsara who enjoys pain and misery. All yearn for happiness, just like this practitioner also yearns for happiness. They recognize the similarity between themselves and others, and they come to the recognition that it is not acceptable that I work solely for my own welfare, for my own individual liberation, and don't put the needs of others first and foremost. How can it be acceptable that I strive for my own liberation whilst beings all around me are lost in pain and misery? I have to help them gain freedom from suffering too. But in order to do that, I have to transcend the limitations that I currently have, the limitations of being a very ordinary samsaric being. I need to become a Buddha, a being that is perfected, freed from every fault, and perfectly develops all good qualities, and thereby can perfectly help each and every suffering mother sentient being in accordance with their own individual spiritual background, their own individual personalities. So therefore, I'm going to strive to develop myself in order to help others. And whilst I'm developing, every step of the way, I will be helping others as much as I can. This is the attitude of a practitioner of greatest or supreme capacity. And what marks out this capacity as supreme or greatest is the breadth of their mind. They're not just thinking about themselves, but each and every sentient being. And they're not having as a goal merely their own liberation or a good rebirth, but their goal is Buddhahood for the sake of others. This is what marks out a practitioner of greatest capacity.
What
distinguishes these practitioners is their goal and the accompanying breadth of attitude. Of these three practitioners, what dominates their mind is the achievement of their goal, and therefore everything they engage in is directed towards the achievement of that goal, whether it's a good rebirth or liberation or enlightenment. But the vast majority of beings don't hold those goals at the forefront of their mind. So where do they fit in amongst the beings of these three differing capacities? They are not included. They are not included because they haven't yet given rise to a sincere determination to achieve any of these goals.
Jewa chima nasol ma jewa che ngasol la tar che la da mi go ba thoya la sam lo kan sta go re si du je sa sam lo den si tang che so su ge sam lo na lo gom si gom ba yin na an jewa chima la da mi go ba thoya la mi go ba jewa len ba la gyu ga sa go re sin gyu din ne den sa go re se din ma sung go re je sa jewa chima nasol ma jewa che ngasol la tar che la da mi go ba thoya la sam lo kan sta go re si du je sa sam lo den si tang che so su ge sam lo na lo gom si gom ba yin na an jewa chima la da mi go ba thoya la se din ma sung go re je sa jewa chima nasol ma jewa che ngasol la tar che la da mi go ba thoya la sam lo kan sta go re si du je sa sam lo den si tang che so su ge sam lo na lo gom si gom ba yin na an jewa chima la da mi go ba thoya la se din ma sung go re je sa jewa chima nasol ma jewa che ngasol la tar che la da mi
他他得了，什么东西当过来？什么什么哪哪的嘛，送过来，他进来的，现在第二天在第二天把的嘛，那么什么呢？第二的，几乎叫我起码他那米国王头发了，什么的开始当过来，现在什么的东西当过来，现在就结结。但他那米国王头发怎么的？第二他那米的东西有的呢，东西今年没把的，他头发晒脱下来，今年什么干当过来？现在我低头来什么东西当过来，搞么东西搞过来，现在送过来。 但呢，人基本没有，甚至他们这口味东西了，主要是要他把头也拉，甚至他们就东西是自己主要了，那上几口饭是偷过，低头也拉，什么干是当过来的呢？我低什么东西当过来才送过来。但是人们说的，他们低什么送过来的？其实，叫我起码把他们米国包偷回去，他们什么当拿人把鸡送过来，叫我，低什么是？他们把国包偷回去，端到了什么当拿人把鸡送过来。那今天。 三九国宝特别去的，三六当堂的人把钱送过来，接着南门送些地了，南门就是三六当堂低送的西瓜，到底哪里办？是南门些的，几地伢们能接的？所以叫我去嘛，他那米国宝头发是三六东西当过来，他把头发头盔那三六东西当过来，三九国宝头发那三六东西当过来，才去送过来的。
The title of the text, usually in English, we do use the Tibetan word lam rim. So this literally means lam, it means path, rim is stages. So the title here of the text in its entirety is the graduated stages of the path of training or practice to enlightenment as practiced by the three types of beings. So what is presented here in this text is how to train one's mind or how to practice. In other words, what are the causes and how to accumulate them that will lead to these varying goals of a good rebirth, of liberation, of enlightenment. So we understand then this term to practice as about training our mind. And in this way, we are accumulating the causes that will lead to the attainment of our desired goal. So the text here presents the graduated stages of the path of training one's mind. And the sequence is, in firstly, that's the stages that are in accordance with the being of initial capacity. That is the foundation for all practitioners. And those who progress well there are ready to engage in the stages of training that are shared or common to the practitioner of intermediate capacity, then those trainings which lead to liberation from samsara are built on the foundation of the initial training. And those practitioners then, who have trained well in both levels and have given rise to a sincere determination to achieve good rebirth and built on that to a sincere determination to achieve liberation, they then can successfully engage in the stages of training of the path that are unique to a practitioner of supreme capacity. So here what I'm hoping is clear is the meaning of the word lamrim, the stages of the path. These are divided in terms of the varying strength or way of thinking, the breadth of mind of differing practitioners, those of initial capacity, intermediate capacity, and greatest capacity.
Some of the things done and the 他们就可以用了之后他把他们就他们他是呃都可以用了之后第一定也得我特别有等到了三九国王托孤都是被三六大姐娘们集团搞砸的了几乎全部拿过来是的他几乎全部的人的全部拿过来的但今天去了几乎全部拿过来今天什么档案的几乎整理拿过来今天什么档案的几乎全部拿过来是的当然这个还好才是完的的他的这个还好才是
To summarize then the differences between the beings of the three varying capacities, what differentiates them, one can look at in terms of their goal, and corresponding to their goal is their breadth of mind. So the practitioner of initial capacity, they are determined not to fall into the lower realms and set about with vigor to accumulate the causes that will ensure a good rebirth. A practitioner of intermediate capacity, they have already trained well on that foundation, but they are now training further, recognizing that wherever one is born within samsara, one will continue to suffer. Until one attains liberation from samsara, one will remain bound within these suffering realms. So they have given rise to a determination to attain freedom from suffering. And to do this, they had to also have this foundation of the practitioner of initial capacity. The practitioner of greatest capacity, they have also built the same foundation, but have taken it that step further. And they have recognized that their yearning for freedom, freedom from all forms of pain and misery, are shared by each and every being without exception. And that's not they don't leave that as a mere recognition. It touches them in a way that leads them to make the commitment to leave no being behind, to not abandon any mother sentient being, to place their needs first and foremost, so that they make the vow, the commitment, to lead each and every mother sentient being to a state of liberation, liberation from the sufferings of samsara. That is their commitment. And in order to fulfill that commitment, their accompanying commitment is to attain Buddhahood, so that they can become that skilled guide, and that this aspiration to lead all beings to their own liberation, that aspiration can actually be fulfilled. So those are the three goals or objectives of the beings of varying capacity.
Nadi Jibu Chingusum Chirichus Dinahua Sawaje. Dadine, Lemrena, Karashigor, yes, Lemrim Git, Lemrena, the Pages, Lemrena, Karashigor, Joja, Karashigor, Lemna, Jena Deji Jibu Chungu Digi, Jewa Chimalada, Miuko, Toyalia, Samokan Stankore, Samotane, Samotane, Jugi, Samotana, Karakar Stankore, Tennis, Stankore, say, Chishigore, Shigore, Lemrena. Dadine, Kuyo Dunga Tata Lutre, Tarbase, Tobala, some not in it in the Tangore, Sinyam Lady Bajisungore. That did Tabatama, Simpson Tamjigudan, Sanjo Goba Tobala, some not in his Tangore, Yamlin, Sinis Tangore, Sungor. Jizada Lambrim Nalaya, Lupsin, Samotan, Juata Hadi, Sunga de Carson, Jibu Chumutona, Jibu Chimalhada, Mugovatona, some not in Stanguta, Sajna. Tarbu Goba Tobna, some not in his Tangore, Sajna.
So if one wonders what is taught in this thick book, all the varying topics here lay out in the sequence of first for the practices that are shared with the being of initial capacity, thereafter for intermediate capacity, and then those unique to the practitioner of supreme capacity, lays out each stage of training that an individual needs to go through in order to generate the motivation of a being of initial capacity, and thereby in dependence on having generated that, to generate the motivation of a being of intermediate capacity, and having generated that motivation, one has the foundation to continue with the trainings to generate the motivation of a being of greatest capacity. So therefore, when one receives these each and every teaching here, one takes them as personal instruction, because these are the stages of training that every practitioner needs to go through so as to spiritually develop, to spiritually transform their mind. Buddha Shakyamuni gave an incredible number of teachings. We can see them up there. But all of them can be summarized into what we find in this text. Because his teachings presented for some audiences how to achieve a good rebirth. For other audiences, building on that, he presented how to attain liberation from the sufferings of samsara in their entirety. And for other audiences, building on those two, he presented how to attain enlightenment itself, Buddhahood itself. So therefore, the entirety of Buddha's teachings are summarized in the Lamrim tradition. And then all the great commentaries that were written by the remarkable Indian pandits such as Nagarjuna, as well as the incomparable masters from Tibet such as Lama Tsongkhapa, all of their varying texts and commentaries, they too can be subsumed into the varying trainings that are shared with the practitioner of initial capacity, shared with the practitioner of intermediate capacity, and unique to a practitioner of supreme capacity. When one reads any other text, what is found there will be found here. What will differ is the words that are used, perhaps the details. Some texts are quite detailed in particular points, others are quite brief on other points, but the meaning is the same. What is summarized here, if one trains one's mind slowly as we move, if one trains one's mind as we move slowly through this text, one will give rise to all these qualities, all the qualities that are found within the Buddha Dharma. And whichever teaching you attend on the Buddha Dharma, whatever that teaching is on, can be included here within the range of the three scopes of practitioners. Nothing is omitted in this text or in this class of teachings of these Lamrim texts. Lama Tsongkhapa commences his text, as with all other Buddhist texts, It starts with a homage or salutation, or homage rather. The purpose of a homage is by the author is to accumulate merit, and that merit he's accumulating so as to eradicate obstacles to the successful composition of his text and for the goals and aspirations of the text to be achieved. So now we turn on the third page, right at the top. Respectfully, I prostrate at the feet of those venerable holy beings filled with compassion. So looking at the homage, respectfully I prostrate at the feet of those venerable holy beings filled with compassion. So here, venerable holy beings, this then refers to Lama Tsongkhapa's many lamas, his own spiritual teachers, and who he is venerating here as recognizing that they are indivisible from the Buddhas. He doesn't distinguish between the Buddhas and his lamas, but recognizing that in the continuum they are indivisible. Indivisible. And then furthermore, the term compassion. So the word is the honorific word for compassion, but the way it's written, we should understand that this is compassion that has been developed to the level of perfection, which means it's a compassion in the continuum of a Buddha. So that adds to the understanding of venerable holy beings, meaning his lamas, that he is seen as indivisible from the Buddhas. And here, their compassion is the compassion of Buddhas. In other words, it's been developed to the level of perfection. And he's offering prostration or homage to them, recognizing that everything they do is directed solely at benefiting all mother sentient beings. So therefore, inspired by the example, he begins his text by offering homage to them. Continuing in the text, Blessed One, Lord of this endurance world, Buddha's regents, Maitreya, Lord of the Dharma, Manjugosha, sole father of those gone to bliss, Nagarjuna and Asanga foretold by the victor, bowing to you with respect, I will here explain once more in a summary fashion the stages of the path of profound view and vast conduct for the sake of making them easy to access. The first line, Blessed One, Lord of this endurance world. This is a homage to the Blessed One or the Bhagavan, to Buddha Shakyamuni. Explain this unusual expression, that of endurance world. So this refers to our world, the world that we abide in, the world that we dwell in. So this is a world where we do endure suffering. In particular, it refers to the suffering of the afflictions that we have to endure. But it's not merely that we have to endure these afflictions. We have the capacity to apply antidotes to these afflictions, and thereby can actually practice patience with this suffering that we currently have to endure. In other words, we can successfully apply antidotes to the afflictions, our mental suffering that we have to endure. This isn't the case for all beings. Those, for example, in the lower realms, their suffering is far too intense and their capacity far too limited to be able to apply antidotes. Whereas for us in this world of endurance, we can apply antidotes to our mental suffering. Then the particular word, endurance world, this is a less common way to express the name of our own world. So we know from the mandala offering earlier tonight, Zambuling, this is a more common way to refer to the world that we live in. But this endurance world is a less common way to refer to our world. Then the other term, that of Lord. So there are different words for Lord. This particular word that's here translated as Lord refers to Buddha Shakyamuni as being the supreme amongst spiritual teachers. So there are many teachers who teach a path to liberation, but amongst them, Buddha Shakyamuni is supreme. So that is the particular meaning of this word for Lord. Because it's only Buddha Shakyamuni who teaches the complete and unmistaken path to attain this liberation from samsara. So therefore, he is seen as being Lord amongst spiritual teachers, or the ruler of spiritual teachers.
Ta jom den si du jom la du ta sang jom den de kuran nyomo be ge nyomo nyomo du sum sabam ba sha den che ba pang ba re jom ba re me ba se sa ba re es me ba se sa ba re si la pang ba re sa de jom de ni ge pang bi yin den de kuran du wu sa ji jom den jom den ane che dam je ane ji ge lam du me nyam leng jin ba to be yi xie ane de ha den ba re se de ji wang chu sa ji 王修说了,等到你学生,王修说的做,确定给蓝米做的,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,这个,
Then the word we have here is Blessed One, which is the English. The Sanskrit you'll be familiar with, Bhagavan. And also from some of the prayers, the Tibetan, Chomden De. So looking at then the meaning of the Tibetan, Chomden De, the first syllable, that of Chom, this refers to having destroyed or cut or overcome, destroyed or overcome, triumph over the afflictions together with the seeds. So this is one quality of Buddhas, of a Bhagavan, is that they have completely eradicated the afflictions together with his seeds and imprints. Then the second syllable, Chom Den, so the Den, this is to have or to possess. So this refers to all good qualities. So a Bhagavan or a Buddha possesses all good qualities, and not just merely possesses them, but has developed them to the state of perfection. So the first syllable, that of Chom, is to have eradicated completely all afflictions together with their seeds and imprints. So not a trace of fault is left. And then the second syllable, Den, is all good qualities have been developed to the level of perfection. The Tibetan word again for Bhagavan or Blessed One is Chom Den De. So spoken on Chom and Den. Now the third syllable, De, this is to have transcended, to have gone beyond. So what this refers to is that all faults have been transcended. One has gone beyond all faults, which means they will never, ever arise again. And this is because with that first syllable, the afflictions together with his seeds and imprints have been destroyed. And because one has transcended all faults, one abides in a state only possessing qualities, which was the qualities was referred to in the second syllable, that of Den. So this is now the meaning of the third syllable of De, of having transcended or gone beyond all faults and abiding in a state of lasting qualities. What we're looking at here in the first five lines. Now, well, the very first line, which we've covered, was the homage. Now, in the first five lines is the salutation. So what we're seeing in the very first line, Blessed One, Lord of this endurance world, is the first line of the five lines of salutation, where the Bhagavan is being praised for having completely abandoned all faults. In other words, the afflictions, together with their seeds and imprints, eradicated them completely, and possessing all good qualities and having developed them to the state of perfection. And not only being praised for what has been attained, but being praised for being the illuminator of the path for ordinary beings such as ourselves, who populate the world of endurance. So being the faultless guide for beings such as ourselves. So here, his qualities are, as this faultless guide, are praised. So our time is up for tonight already. So just to summarize very briefly what we looked at is in the full title in the Tibetan, we looked at the explanation of what the three types of beings are and how they are differentiated in terms of their goal and the broadness of their attitude. And we looked at the subject matter of this text, which is the varying trainings that are built on. The trainings of a practitioner of initial capacity is striving for a good rebirth. The practices of a being of intermediate capacity, which are built on that basis, who are striving for liberation. And then thirdly, built on both of those, the practices of a being of greatest capacity, who is striving for enlightenment for the sake of all beings. So that is the bulk of what we looked at tonight. And then tomorrow we'll continue looking at the salutation. Okay. And thank you very much. Thank you.